This classroom presentation is provided by the Rock Bible College to assist its students in their learning experience with classroom and course content for classes offered for the Biblical Studies program.
Amen. Tonight, get your Bibles and go with me to Luke, the 9th chapter, kind of towards the end of the 9th chapter. So if you can find Luke chapter 9, we're going to be in verse number 51 through verse number 56. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 51 through verse 56. We're talking about a subject tonight that I'm titling, Living in the Right Spirit. Living in the Right Spirit. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse number 51 through verse number 56. Some things have been going on. Jesus has gone up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He's been transfigured before his disciples. A couple of his disciples got to see that happen. And they came down from the mountain, and maybe you remember as they came down, trouble was waiting for them at the bottom of the hill, right? And here's a man with a demon-possessed son. The disciples have been laboring, trying to cast this devil out, and they can't do it. And Jesus, you know, kind of lifts up his eyes to the heaven and says, how long shall I put up with this faithless generation? He rebukes the spirit. It comes out of the child. And then they have a couple of things that take place. Some things start happening. The disciples start having a dispute. Start talking about who's the greatest. Me and James and John, Peter's probably piping up saying, well, you know, it's got to be one of us. And I think I know which one of us three it is because we all went up on the mountain. I was the only one that talked. And after I talked, God talked. So, you know, I could just throw in my hat for who I think is the greatest. You know, and the other guys are saying, no, you guys can't be the greatest. He took you with him because you're the biggest troublemakers. And he left us in charge down there. And so we were the ones casting out the demon. And, you know, and so they're arguing over who's the greatest. And they're struggling. They're striving with one another, and Jesus has to kind of knock them upside their heads and teach them a thing or two about a thing or two. And we come to this section of scripture in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 51 through verse number 56. And it says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him, speaking of Jesus, capital H, to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now I want you to notice something, that Jesus knew the time and the season that he was in. Jesus knew now that he was going to accomplish all that the Father had called him to do. And he knew that that road was going to be a road marked with suffering. He knew that that road led to the cross and ultimately to the grave. And that he was going to have to go through some things in order to fulfill the will and the plan of God for his life. And so he set himself steadfastly. There wasn't going to be anything that gets him off of purpose, off of his call. In verse number 52, it says, and he sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. Now, the Samaritans, if you don't know, at this time were a hated people. They were half-breeds, if you will. They had intermingled with the Gentile nations. If you read about the history in the Bible of the Samaritans, they had wicked kings that were over them, and there were some things that went down. But as well, you realize that Jesus needed to go through Samaria at one point in his life. John, the 4th chapter, Jesus goes through Samaria and he finds a woman at the well. You guys remember that story? And here Jesus breaks down cultural barriers. He breaks down prejudice. He breaks down walls of separation. And he extends the love not only to a Samaritan, but to a Samaritan woman. And this woman even had a hard time with Jesus. How is it that you, being a Jew, speak to me, a woman, right? And he says, go and talk to your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right, you got 5 husbands, right? This woman was well known around town, and she had some issues that came along in her life, and yet Jesus ministered to her and imparted his life to her, because she went there looking for a drink of water and she left without her water pot and went down to Samaria, and she said, come see the man that told me everything that I had ever done. Now that's probably pretty intriguing, right? Because these people probably knew about this woman. There had been some gossip going around Samaria, and they said, well, whoa, wait a second. He told her everything about her life? That had to be some tell that he told. Let's go find out what he's going to say about everybody else, you know. And so the whole town comes out, and Jesus stays there and he ministers to these people for days. So now here the disciples are, they're preparing for Jesus to go to Jerusalem. Jesus has already broken down these walls of prejudice and separation, and so they go to the towns of Samaria. Look at what it goes on. Verse number 53, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Now, that's kind of a puzzling thing, isn't it? These people knew that Jesus is the Messiah. They came out in droves to see him. They heard the word of the Lord preached. He ministered to them. This woman brought up an issue that I believe is the root of the issue when it comes to the reason why they rejected Jesus at this time. And that is that the woman said, well, you Jews think that we should worship in Jerusalem, where the temple is, but we believe that we should worship on this mountain. So they had their own holy place. They had their own history with God. They had the well. They had all this stuff that was going on, and they believed that God was their God as well. But because of this prejudice, Jesus has now set his face to go not to the mountain in Samaria, but now he set his face to go to Jerusalem because he must be crucified on Mount Calvary outside the gate of the city, right? And so they realize, Jesus, you're the Messiah, but you're not doing what we would want you to do. And therefore, they reject him. Now, the story goes on. This is where it starts to get interesting. And it says in verse number 54, and when his disciples, and then it names them, James and John. Don't you love the Bible? It just, sometimes it doesn't name people on purpose. You know, there's a woman with an issue of blood. There's a blind man. There's, you know, and you don't get anything other than that. Man born blind, right? That's it. You don't get names. You don't get nothing. But when it comes to the disciples, Peter cut the ear off, right? James and John were the ones that spoke up at this time. And so here it is, and it says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Now remember, these guys are rugged. These were fishermen. Okay, sons of Zebedee or sons of thunder. These were some of Jesus' closest companions, and they're a bit rough around the edges. They're rugged, they're tough men. And so they heard that, wait a second. You mean to tell me we spent all that time there, Jesus didn't even eat, and he was going and ministering to these guys, and now all of a sudden they're going to tell us that we can't come to their village and just sleep there for the night? What are they talking about? Jesus, hey, Jesus, I got an idea. Do you want us to call down fire out of heaven on their Samaritan heads? Because that's just wrong. That's just prejudice. You already dealt with that, Jesus. You already broke that down. We'll call down the fire. They'll get what they deserve. You're the Messiah. You're the King, you're going to set up your reign here on the earth. Now look at what Jesus does. He does what we probably would have done. Verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them, right? Every good Christian would have said, you don't consume people. You don't call down fire out of heaven. But look at what he says. He turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Notice he didn't rebuke them and say, you guys can't call down fire out of heaven. You don't have that authority. You don't have that ability. You don't have that power. That's what I would have been saying. Well, who do you think you are going to call down fire out of heaven? He doesn't rebuke them for that. He rebukes them that they have the wrong heart. Wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You don't know what spirit you're of. Look at what it goes on to say. And it says, verse 56, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Maybe you're like me, and sometimes when you've got a bad attitude, you go to God and you justify it with scripture. Do you guys do that too? Right? Oh, come on, don't look at me like that. You know you do. You and me and the disciples, all of us together, do you want me to call down fire as Elijah did? God, I got chapter and verse for this one right here. Rebuke a fool according to his folly. I'm gonna give them a piece of my mind. God, I'll speak the truth in love, but I'm gonna speak the truth, right? They're going to get a love sandwich right up the face right now. Come on. We've all done it. We all know that we can justify just about anything. Is that right? And yet when we bring this stuff to the Father, Jesus, I got chapter and verse. Here was Elijah, right? They come to him, the man of God, and Elijah had prophesied and said that the king was going to die. And so the king sends 50 men to go bring Elijah to him. He's mad. Bring him here. But you know what the king was doing? He was inquiring of Beelzebub, trying to find out what to do. And God sends word through Elijah, is it because I'm not God that you want to go and inquire Beelzebub, who's not a God? Now, because you did this, you're going to die. This sickness that you have right now from a fall that you took, you're going to die from that. So he sends 50 men out. And the commander of the men says, hey, man of God, come with us. He says, if I'm a man of God, may fire from heaven fall down and consume you. Crispy critters. They gone, right? That's it. So then another guy comes out. Man of God, come with us. And he says, if I'm a man of God, may fire fall down out of heaven and consume you. Second time, right? Same thing takes place. Third guy comes crawling on his knees. man of God. I'm not saying if, I'm saying you are. Now listen, if you value my life and these, notice he doesn't say your servants, he doesn't say the king's servants, he says these your servants. If you value our lives, will you please just come with us, because the king will kill us and we go back without you, but if you come out by him, we're all gonna die. So Elijah gets up and goes with him and tells the king the same thing that he already said. He said, because you didn't inquire of the Lord, this fall that you took, you're going to die. And sure enough, he dies. So here's the disciples. And by the way, that was the king of Samaria. Hello? So here's the disciples going, the Samaritans are prejudiced. The Samaritans don't want Jesus, the Messiah, to go to Jerusalem. The Samaritans are stopping the work of the ministry. They're stopping the plan of God here. And this is the king. This is the Messiah. And therefore, if they're stopping him from his purpose, I remember what God did back in the day. Jesus, do you want us to call down fire out of heaven on them? They had chapter and verse. Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. See, because Elijah's heart was different. Elijah's time was different. This was before the cross. This was in the time of the kings. God was doing something new here on the earth. God was now expressing himself through his son. And now Jesus comes to them and they're wanting to destroy men's lives. And Jesus says, that's your motivation. That's what's going on in your heart. I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. That was his purpose on the earth. In case you're wondering, Jesus didn't come to mess up your fun. Hello? Jesus didn't come to meddle in your business. Jesus came to save your soul from hell. He did not come because he's angry at you or he's mad at you or he wants to send you or wants to hurt you. He came because he loves you and he wants to save your soul and he wants to give you life and life more abundantly. That's the business that Jesus was in, not in destroying and ruining people's lives. Jesus is the love of God expressed on the earth. And the lesson for all of us is we need to learn, listen, if they were of the wrong spirit, don't you think that we, in our flesh, in our lives, can operate in the wrong spirit? Sometimes with the best of intentions, right? Out of zeal for God, we can go slap someone upside the head with a Bible. Out of a zeal for the Word of God, we can misuse and abuse our spouse or our children or finances even. Out of a zeal for what we think that God would want for our lives, we can step on others or gossip or do different things. Yet God says you don't know what spirit you're of when you're operating in these things. In fact, operating in the wrong spirit will produce the wrong results. That should make sense to all of us, but I want to emphasize this point for a second because we need to know that if we continue to operate in the wrong spirit, it will produce the wrong results. The wrong results here in Luke chapter number 9 was that men's lives would be destroyed. People who did not know what they were doing, they were just operating in the prejudice of the day. Yeah, we like Jesus, but if Jesus is going to Jerusalem, we can't be seen with him, right? And in the same way, if we operate in the wrong spirit, it's going to end up destroying maybe others' lives, but maybe our own life. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. It says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Now, in the time, if you were in a city without walls, that meant you were exposed. Okay? If another kingdom came in and wanted to take over, if you had a walled city, you could go inside of that city and you could shut all the gates and you had protection. But a man without ruling over his own spirit, if you're operating in the wrong spirit and you don't have control over what's going on in your life, you are like a person who is a city without walls. That means you are vulnerable to attack. The devil will come and will take you out if you operate in the wrong spirit. See, the disciples didn't realize what spirit they were operating in at that moment. But we can know, come on somebody, we can know what spirit we're operating because we have, number one, the Word of God. And number two, we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us that leads us and guides us into all truth, that reveals the Word of God to us, that reminds us of everything that Jesus had spoken, and that shows us, our lives shows us things to come. And so if we are operating in the wrong spirit, the Holy Spirit of God will speak to us, will convict us and tell us, hey, that's not the way that you should be going. You have a conscience that God has given you, and your conscience will tell you what's going on in your life. Let me show this to you in the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 this time. If you want to turn there with me in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 20, And verse number 27, look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 27. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Everybody say the lamp of the Lord. Now notice it is a lamp. That means it illuminates. It lights things up. It reveals things. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So we see that God has a way to illuminate what is going on the inside, whether or not we're of the right spirit. The spirit of a man is the light of the Lord. God will shine his light through his Holy Spirit on our spirit and show us what we're operating in. In other words, God will give us some indicator lights. There are some things that we can see in our life that if we're operating in these things, then we're operating either in the right spirit or in the wrong spirit. Anybody listening tonight? A couple of indicator lights for you. First one is this, fear. If you are operating in fear and you can recognize that, then that is an indicator light that you are operating in the wrong spirit. Anybody can quote with me 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? But of power and love and of a sound mind. So when we are not operating in power, when we are not operating in love, and when we're crazy, hello, come on somebody, when you are not of a sound mind, now all of a sudden you realize there's probably the wrong spirit. And that spirit is not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Did you know that fear will move you and motivate you in negative directions in your life? Right? Let's think about it for a second. Will you do a mighty work if you're afraid? No, right? Because if you're afraid, let's say you're afraid of praying for somebody that if you pray for their healing, they probably won't get healed. Maybe you heard the pastor say, I prayed for somebody and they died. That has happened to me, by the way. So before you think you just want Pastor Dan to pray for you, you better go find somebody with some faith, all right? But if you're afraid of getting no results, the wrong results, maybe what if I pray and they don't like it? What if I witness to somebody and they spit in my face? I'm just afraid. What if I lose a friend if I tell them the truth? All those things. Fear will motivate you the wrong way and you will not have any power. You will not operate in the boldness that God wants for your life. You will not have any miracles, signs, and wonders happening because you'll never be stepping out in faith. Why? Fear will hold you back. What about love? Fear will hold you back from loving the way you ought to love. Why? Because what if they don't accept me the way I am? We put up walls, we put on masks, we put up a front, right? Why? Because fear says they won't love me for me. Or if I expose what's going on the inside, what if I'm accountable? What if I say what's going on and they're angry at me? You know, just recently one of my children told me that they were afraid of mom and dad getting angry, so they didn't tell us something that happened at school. See, fear motivates us in the wrong direction. And we should recognize if I'm in fear, then I'm not operating in the spirit that God has given me, which is a spirit of love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Wow. And of a sound mind. You know, there's times where fear will start telling you things. Fear will start to cripple you. Fear will start to, depress you, discourage you, distract you. You get so afraid over what's going on and what's taking place in the world. One guy, I remember, took up smoking and drinking and all that kind of stuff because of 9/11. And he just said he was so afraid that something was going to happen. He was crippled in life and he was irrational. And he thought that if he started smoking and drinking, that would kind of numb the pain in his life. And that if 9/11 ever happened, he'd be okay. Can I ask you, how is smoking and drinking going to help you if 9/11 happens again? It's not. See, that's irrational. Fear will motivate you in the wrong direction. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That is an indicator light. If you're operating in fear, you're operating in the wrong spirit. Some of you guys are getting this. What about another indicator light? How about this one? Anger. Ooh, anger is an indicator light that if you are operating in anger, then you're operating in the wrong spirit. You know, the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. That means it's possible. Hello, that's good news for some of us in this place, isn't it? Because things can just rile us up on the inside. Maybe something happens, you hear something, your blood boils, you see red, I don't know, you know, whatever happens. And you just get angry, you grit your teeth, you shout, you yell, you cuss, whatever it is. But see, if you continue to operate in anger and you allow it to take you to sinful places, that's an indicator like, I'm operating in the wrong spirit right now. Separate yourself from that situation. Take a breath. Take a minute. Get yourself level-headed. Get that sound mind, because that's the wrong spirit when you don't have a sound mind, right? Get yourself back into a place. And anger can be healthy in the sense that it will motivate you to do something about things, that you won't put up with stuff. Sometimes it's not until you get angry that you actually start doing something, right? Kids are out of order and you just let it happen until finally you get angry, and then that's it, kids, knock it off, right? You say something, you do something, you discipline. At work, you know, there could be some sort of work that, oh, you know what, they probably just were working fast, and that's not usually how we do it, but I guess we can overlook it this time. And then the next time it happens, you're irked. The next time it happens, you get angry, right? And you say, hey, listen, guys, we're not going to put up with this junky work any longer. You guys need to start paying attention to what's going on. And you start to correct problems. See, anger can be healthy in the sense that it motivates us to do something about situations. If people didn't get angry about injustice, things would still be taking place. If people didn't get angry about prejudice, we would still have segregation in our nation. If people didn't get angry about cancer, there wouldn't be doctors that are studying it for cures. If people didn't get angry about certain things in life, nothing would happen. And so it can be a positive force if we use it in the right way. But when anger causes you to lash out, to have outbursts of wrath, to go into sin, whatever that looks like, whether it's hurting somebody physically or whether it's speaking the wrong language, that sort of a thing, and those high school words start to bubble up out of your mouth and you wonder where you found those things after forgetting them so long ago. See, that anger will take you to the wrong place. You're there in the book of Proverbs. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 16 this time. Proverbs chapter 16. A couple of pages over, and this time verse number 32. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. That's a pretty cool statement, isn't it? We all want to be mighty, but if you're slow to anger, you're better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. See, if we can keep our composure, if we can rule our spirit, if we can operate in the right spirit, yeah, I'm angry about that, but that's not going to cause me to sin with my mouth. Yes, I'm angry about this situation, but that's not going to cause me to lash out. Oh yeah, I'm angry and I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do something with it, but not right now, because if I did it right now, they're going to get it, right? But we're not going to go there. See, those are indicator lights in life. I mean, you can live in the right spirit because Jesus gave you his spirit. Let me say that again. You can live in the right spirit because Jesus gave you his spirit. So when you see the indicator lights going off, fear's trying to creep in right now. Anger's trying to stop me right now. There's other ones that we could talk about. Pride, right? That's another one of those indicator lights. If you're operating in pride, you're operating in the wrong spirit, because pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a great fall. See, there's other indicator lights. I just wanted to cover those two quickly. But we can operate in the right spirit. If we know that there is a wrong spirit, and we know that sometimes we don't know what spirit we're of, but we can see the indicator lights, then the hope for tonight is, for all of us, is that we can operate in the right spirit because Jesus gave us his spirit. In other words, he takes the guesswork out of it. You don't have to wonder, I wonder if this thing that I'm about ready to do or say is going to be right or wrong. Listen, don't worry about that. That's fear creeping in again. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can do the right things, you can have the right spirit, because Jesus gave you his spirit. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Isaiah chapter 11, let's take a look at it. Maybe you've heard in the book of Revelation of the seven spirits of God, and you wondered what that was all about. There are seven expressions, and maybe this is linked, maybe it's coincidence. I don't know that there's too many coincidences when it comes to the word of God. But in Isaiah chapter number 11, we find seven expressions that talk about the Spirit of God. And these seven expressions are spoken of Jesus. In verse number 1, it talks about the rod from the stem of Jesse and the branch that grows out of its roots. Speaking of Jesus. Verse number 2, it talks about the Spirit. Look at what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There's number 1, the Spirit of the Lord. All right? And it says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Notice those are the seven expressions that talks about the Spirit that God has placed on Jesus, right? That was the Spirit that Jesus operated in. So if you go back through these real quick and just look at that. Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Did Jesus have wisdom? Yes. Oh yeah, remember the child grew in wisdom and in stature, right? So Jesus, we know, had wisdom. There were things that Jesus spoke about, things that Jesus knew how to do, things that Jesus could express, that no one could stand up to his wisdom, right? My goodness, he would stop the mouths of people when he would teach. The spirit of understanding. Jesus knew stuff, right? He understood stuff about life. He could break down talking about the olive press. He'd be talking about olive trees. He'd be talking about the fig tree. He'd be talking about the moon and the stars. He'd be talking about the parables of the kingdom, all the different stuff that was going on. He had the spirit of understanding. He understood the hearts of men, that they were deceitful, and he understood the hidden things of the heart, right? The spirit of counsel. You know, Jesus gave people wise counsel. Is that right? He would talk to people about their lives. He would tell them what to do. They wouldn't always use his wisdom, but he gave it. The spirit of might. Jesus did mighty things, didn't he? I mean, Jesus raised the dead. Jesus healed the leper. Jesus opened the blind eyes. Jesus did great and mighty things. There were miracles that took place. Jesus didn't even have to be praying for somebody or touching somebody, right? Power would just flow out of him. The spirit of might was upon Jesus so great. All somebody had to do was come up and get through the crowd and get a hold of the hem of his garment, and power would go out of him. See, Jesus had the spirit of might. What about this one? The spirit of knowledge. Did Jesus know some things? Oh, yeah, he did. And the fear of the Lord, the reverence and respect, the awe and the wonder of who God is. The fear of the Lord. Look at verse number 3. It says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. So easy for us, isn't it, to decide things based on what we see and what we hear. Right? We live in a sense world. We're taught from a young age the five senses, right? What are they? You've got your sight, you got your sound, you got your smell, you got your taste, you got your touch, right? And so we got our five senses, right? And there's a sixth sense called mom, right? That's always the sixth sense, right? She got eyes in the back of her head somehow. She knows what's going on. So, but we'll talk about the five senses, okay? And so those five senses are all natural things, all things that we can understand based on our surroundings. And so we gather data by what we see and by what we hear. Do you know that you can watch the news and you can see something and you can hear something, and they have so clipped and edited that, that what you have seen and what you have heard, you could get angry about and you could be railing at it, and then you could go and talk to that individual later on. They could say, that's not at all what I said. They pulled that right out of context. You only got a clip of that. Now, I wonder, that's for the news, right? But what happens when you walk through the hallway at work and you hear some people talking at the water cooler and something angers you? I wonder if we're judging by the sight of our eyes and the hearing of the ears. I wonder if when you're walking by your kid's room and you hear them talking on the phone, and all of a sudden that fear grips your heart and you say, oh no, what's going on there? I wonder if we're judging by the sight of our eyes and the hearing of our ears. See, all of us, this happens to. None of us is immune to this. We all were born into a natural physical realm. And even though we're born again, how many of you know we didn't discard this earth suit just yet? We're still living in a physical body, right? Still smelling stuff, still hearing stuff, still tasting things, still seeing stuff going on, right? Touching things. There's all sorts of physical things that still go on in our lives. And yet Jesus, the Bible said, didn't judge by the hearing of the ear nor the sight of his eyes. But how did he judge? He judged by the fear of the Lord. In other words, this sevenfold spirit that concluded with the fear of the Lord, Jesus judged by what God said. He allowed God to be the judge, and he allowed God to be the leader and to show him what steps he should walk in. That's why Jesus often went off by himself to pray. Is that right? Because he was connecting to the Father. He said, the words that I speak are not my own. I only speak what I hear from the Father. The deeds that I do is not what I want to do, but only those things which I see the Father doing, that do I do. And so for all of us, we need to learn the lesson from Jesus. But remember what I said. We can know when we're operating in the right spirit because Jesus has given us whose spirit? Come on, let that sink in for a second. Whose spirit do you have? The spirit that Jesus had, is that the spirit that you have? So Jesus had a sevenfold spirit upon him, right? And Jesus has given you that same spirit. Some of you guys came into this place tonight and you were wondering how you were going to get the wisdom that you needed. you were wondering if you were operating in the right spirit. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I don't know if it's really wise. But let me tell you something. The Spirit of God is upon your life for the wisdom of God. Some of you guys wondered if you had it in you to do mighty deeds. I just don't know if I pray for somebody. You've been operating in the wrong spirit. That's fear. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God that He's given you is the Spirit of might. Come on, somebody. You better look at that. Everybody raise up your hand right now for a second. Everybody raise up your hand. Look at that hand. Look at that hand. Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall... You know there's power resident on the inside. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, I'm giving you some power. Come on, that's a practice for when you go and pray for somebody. Some of you guys said, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. And you're hindered because you don't know. Listen, you have been given the spirit of knowledge and of understanding. There is nothing that's too difficult for you. Maybe you haven't been going for the promotion at work because you thought, I'm just too stupid. I'm just a kid from the IE. I just grew up and my daddy never did anything and my mama never did anything and my brothers aren't doing anything. My sisters aren't doing anything. But you have the spirit of wisdom, of knowledge, and of understanding upon you. The Holy Spirit can make you. Oh my goodness, we got a guy in our church. Is Jesus here tonight? Jesus, Victoria, where are you at, brother? Are you here? He might be working in the children's ministry. This guy comes over from Mexico, doesn't have any education, just gets the Spirit of God on his life. All of a sudden, he decides, you know what, I'm going to go for a job. Here's about a job. He's not qualified. He doesn't have the education. He doesn't know how to do it. But he decides, I'm going to go apply. He applies. Guess what? He passes every test with flying colors. He starts getting promotions. He starts getting raised up. You know what he did? He starts grabbing other guys. Hey, you don't need it. Come on, brother. You need a job. Let's go. And starts raising up other people. Why? Because he had the Spirit of the living God on the inside of him. He had the Holy Spirit of God. You can know when you're operating in the right spirit because Jesus has given you His Spirit. And operating in the right spirit produces extraordinary results. Every time. Every time operating in the right spirit produces extraordinary results. You will be a cut above the rest, just like my brother Jesus, my Mexican brother from another mother. When you operate in the right spirit. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3, then this Daniel, not this Daniel, but this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Somebody say an excellent spirit. There was an excellent spirit that was in Daniel, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now, this got Daniel in trouble. Yes, they hated him for it, and they looked for a way to bring him down, and that's okay because that just turned out to be one of the best stories in the Bible. Is that right? Teach all of our kids about Daniel in the lion's den. And what did God do? He shut the mouths of lions on Daniel's behalf. Why? Because Daniel was a cut above. There was an excellent spirit in him. You have the Spirit of God. How many of you know that is the most excellent spirit that you have on the inside of you? Can you say amen?
Amen.
When you operate in the right spirit, also it'll be a witness to others. Not only will you be a cut above the rest, it'll be a witness to other people. Sometimes we think that we have to condescend. We have to get down in the dirt with other people and tell them how bad we were in order to lift other people up. But did you know that when you're flying high with the Lord, when you have that excellent spirit, when you're a cut above, people will look up and it'll be a witness to them. Wow, look at what's going on. Look at what God's doing in their life. Look at the things that God has done. 2 Corinthians 3, 2, part B through 3 in the Message says, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. I love that. I love that. Did you know that you're God's letter? Did you know that God wrote a love letter? Yes, the Bible. We all know that the Bible is a love letter. But He wrote another one, a new one, a fresh one. Not words on a page, but He wrote you. He wrote the story of your life. And God's script, as we live out God's script, it's a witness to other people. You are a letter. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. Christ Himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living Spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. New King James Version says, written on your hearts. And then it goes on to say, and we publish it. Now remember the purpose of the statement Jesus made to His disciples. Verse number 56 of Luke chapter number 9. Let me wrap up with this. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You guys remember that? That was the purpose statement of operating in the right spirit. Jesus didn't want to come and mess up people's lives. You know, when we operate in anger, we operate in fear, we operate in pride, we operate in the wrong spirit, that destroys our lives and it destroys the lives of others around us. But if we operate in the right spirit, it will make us a cut above the rest. It'll be an excellent spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding. The mighty spirit, that'll be upon us. And as we do that, it'll be a witness to others. And Jesus' purpose will be accomplished in and through us. This will save the lives of others. It's our same purpose. Everything we do is in love for God and in love for others. We won't condemn people. We won't call down fire on people's heads in the cubicles at work. We won't be calling down the neighborhood fire watch, right? Lord, do you want me to cast down fire on my neighbor? They've been keeping me up all night, right? Or I invited them to church and they threw away my flyer that I gave them. So listen, we won't be doing that. We won't operate in the wrong spirit. But rather, we'll be patient, long-suffering, and kind. We'll overlook the offense and move on just like Jesus did. Remember, Jesus, it said he went to another village. There was plenty of places for Jesus to stay. Econo Lodge was at all of them. Motel 6 was over there, right? He had plenty of places to stay. He didn't need the Samaritan village to go to. He looked at that and he said, okay, we'll just go find another one, boys. Don't call down no fire. You don't know what spirit you're of. That's the wrong spirit. Listen, I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save them. We have that same purpose. We have that same thing. Sometimes we can be of the wrong spirit when we see what's going on in our nation. We can condemn our leadership, condemn people around. People make bad decisions. Oh man, they're going to get it. America's going to be judged. This and that going to happen. Listen, that's the wrong spirit, you guys. Let's love them and let's move on with our lives. Let's continue to pour out the love of Jesus. Remember in the Bible that the story's not over, right? The Bible doesn't stop with Luke chapter number 9. The Bible goes on to say that Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to Jerusalem. Jesus died. He was buried. He was raised again. In the book of Acts, you know what happens. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all the disciples. Eventually, there's a persecution that breaks out against the church and the disciples are scattered, right? And so here Philip the waiter, Philip the guy who had the spirit of God and the spirit of wisdom on his life, he goes down. Do you know where he goes down to? Anybody remember where Philip first went down to and started preaching the gospel? Samaria. Philip goes to Samaria. Jesus didn't go back to Samaria, but Philip went to Samaria. And Philip preached the gospel and the spirit of God was on him mightily. Miracles, signs, wonders happening right before the people's eyes. And they heeded the things spoken by Philip. And then, you know what happens next? The apostles in Jerusalem, they hear about it, right? Peter and John. Wasn't it James and John that were so angry at the Samaritans and wanted to call down fire? Isn't that the name that we read in Luke chapter number 9? Peter and John, they go down to Samaria, not to call down fire to consume people's lives, but they call down the fire of the Holy Spirit to fill people's lives. That is the end of the story, my friends. That is the purpose and the plan and the power of God. This is so much bigger. So much bigger. And it's so important, the spirit that we operate in. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Tonight we receive your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that you ministered your word to us tonight. And God, tonight, if there's any way in us that is not pleasing in your sight, God, reveal it to us. Show us, God, if we're of the wrong spirit, Lord, you said in your word, test the spirits to see whether they are of God. And so tonight, Lord, we just open our lives up, God. We know that nothing is hidden in your sight. And we would pray, Lord, that you search us, that you try us, and you know our anxious thoughts. God, if we're operating in fear, Lord, we know that's not of you. You haven't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God, if we're operating in that spirit of pride or haughtiness, God, Lord, we know that you oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And so, God, we repent and we turn to you right now. God, if we're operating in the spirit of anger, we're allowing offenses or things that have happened to motivate us in the wrong way rather than being angry and not sinning and doing things the right way. Lord, we turn from that course. We lay down the offense. We forgive and we move on. Lord, we find another place to dwell. I'm not going to stay in the offense, God. I'm not going to call down fire on anybody. But Lord, we're going to bless and not curse. Father, we love you and we thank you tonight.
You have just completed the presentation offered by the Rock Bible College. Only through the application of the information and instructions provided in this classroom presentation can you be assured of the maximum benefits of the content on this recording. The Rock Bible College. Commit, learn, grow.